So we'll be back in Ephesians next week, and I'll remind you where we left off. But looking forward to that. But for today, I'd like you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 10 and going through 17. It's interesting how this passage, I used this passage last week as I was talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul says there is one body, there is one spirit and one hope of your calling. And we went back and looked at what Paul had said here to the believers in Corinth. There they were arguing, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Peter, and the real spiritual ones. I said, well, we're of Christ. And of course, you had these divisions in the church, and Paul had to address this. But there in Ephesians, he's addressing this issue of unity. You have the first three chapters talking about doctrine, and then therefore, in chapter 4, he says, therefore, because of this doctrine, we have this unity, and we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says there's one body, there is one faith, there is one Spirit, one Lord, one God. And so the basis of our unity, really, as seen in the first three chapters, that doctrinal teaching. And so here was a church that was struggling with unity. There were factions in this church, groups that had, you know, were opposing one another based on personalities. One preferred Paul, another Apollos, another Peter, another Christ. And Paul said, is Christ divided? Christ is not divided. And then he comes down and he talks about his work in chapter 3. And then in verse 10, we come to this passage. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I want us to go back and keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want us to go back and note Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus gave a parable here in Matthew 7. We're all familiar with it. Sunday school songs have been written about it. But in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24, we have the parable of the two builders. And Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Of course, we sing about the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the children know that song. The difference between these two men, of course, Jesus was giving them an example of those who would hear and obey as opposed to those who just heard and did not obey. But the difference between these two homes was the foundation. The foundation. The one home was built upon a rock. The other was built upon sand. And, of course, it was destroyed. The foundation. How are you building? Every one of us is building something. We're building our lives. We're going through our lives, adding, building, and someday we're going to have this, what we're building, our lives are going through this test. this trial by fire, as Paul describes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so it is important that as we build our lives, we build upon a proper foundation. The foundation is really the most important part of any building. If the foundation isn't right, then the building is not going to be stable. It's not going to stand. You know, it's interesting, back when the towers fell in New York, and they started doing all that excavating, and I have been in New York, I think, once. Just happened to be there, visit for a few hours to check out the place. But I really don't have a soft spot in my heart for New York. You know, not at all. I'd rather stay away. But I didn't realize what's underneath all those buildings. And when we saw them excavating out to build the next building, and there's this giant hole in the ground, and how deep, and the subway's under the ground, and you talk about, you know, what you see is above the ground isn't everything. There is a whole lot of structure there below the ground, because a building that's going to stand that high needs to, you know, be firmly planted on bedrock. And it was just really amazing to see the foundation structure of these buildings as these went up. And of course, with the internet and the pictures now that we can see, a lot more information available. But how important the foundation is. Importance of the foundation. A structure depends upon a firm foundation. And back when they used to build with stones, the cornerstone, of course, was the most important stone. The scripture talks about Jesus as being our cornerstone, the true and tried cornerstone. When the Lincoln Memorial was built, and you remember the Lincoln Memorial, that's the one where you're sitting in a chair like this. If you've been to Washington, D.C., of course, you guys see all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot. That's a city with a lot of museums and a lot of stone things. And there's the Lincoln Memorial. When it was built, the cornerstone of the Lincoln Memorial is a 17-ton white marble stone. It's one rock. It's one quarried stone that's 17 tons of white marble. That's what I'm told. But that's a big rock. But there is a lot of weight with that edifice, that building there that was built, and the foundation was important. Now, the importance of a right foundation in our lives can be seen in Scripture, and the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the only true foundation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 22, you'll remember this as we've been through this chapter, but Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, tells us, he says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." And here Paul, again, using this building theme, this illustration, talks about our lives being built as an habitation for the Spirit of God. But as our lives are built, Jesus Christ is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone, and he is the basis upon which we are to build our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, in 1 Peter, Peter quotes from Isaiah chapter 28. But in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, 1 Peter 2 verse 6, it says this. It says, "Wherefore, behold," it says, "also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Again, that prophecy of Isaiah's in Isaiah 28:16, Peter quoting it there, speaking of Christ as the chief cornerstone. Any other foundation is false. Any other foundation is man-made. And there are all kinds of foundations upon which people build their lives. You talk to your neighbors, you talk to co-workers and those people that you come into contact, you'll find that they are building their lives upon something. Everyone's building on something. Some people build upon traditions. You talk to Jewish people. If you talk about religion or anything with the Jews, you cannot help but be hearing about tradition after tradition after tradition. And certainly traditions are interesting. and some of them are very, intricate, involved. But traditions are not the basis upon which we are to build our lives. Worldly philosophy. A lot of people build their lives upon worldly philosophy. Some people build their lives upon their experience. And whatever they experience, that must be truth. So truth is what they experience, and they build their lives based upon that. But the Scripture tells us, again, that Jesus Christ is the only true foundation, the solid foundation, the one that will not change. Listen, traditions will change. Worldly philosophy changes quite often, from year to year, from decade to decade. There's different philosophies out there. If you live your life based upon the world's philosophy, you're going to have a house that is going to crumble in the end. Now, Paul says there's this foundation that we're all building upon there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And as we're all building upon this foundation, we're using different building materials. And you see what he says there in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. He gives six different building materials. And some people will use gold, silver, and precious stones, and some people are going to build their lives using wood, hay, and stubble. Whenever I think of wood, hay, and stubble, it should have been bricks in there too, because I think of the three little pigs and the houses that they built. But here, wood, hay, and stubble. And every man is working, building their house. When you go to Home Depot, you get building materials, or Lowe's, or wherever you go, you know, you wander through the aisles, and you look, and see people walking out with drywall, 2x4s, sheets of plywood. And there's all kinds of building material. And even at Home Depot, there's different qualities of building material. And you can buy different material for different fire ratings. And, of course, you can talk to the firefighter and find out what the codes are for your building, how much sheetrock you're to have so your fire won't burn through the wall too quickly. But there's all kinds of building material to use. Some is higher quality than others. And here in Scripture, Paul uses this illustration. As we build our lives upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and that is the only foundation upon which we are to build, we have choices that we're going to make, choices to make, things that we're to build with. And some of us will use gold, silver, and precious stones. There are others who will use wood, hay, and stubble. Now, if you're using wood, hay, and stubble, your house will probably go up pretty quick. You can build something relatively quickly with wood. It cuts fairly easily. Hay and stubble. Well, you know, you've seen those thatched roofs that they make out of hay and straw. It's interesting looking, but it sure doesn't look real safe. I see those old pictures from England and the old country. I think, man, what happened when those things, you know, went up in a fire? But there are things that we can use. Here are these building materials, and some people, he says, will use gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, gold? How many of you use gold in the construction of your homes? I didn't. I don't even think I have anything that's gilded. Solomon in the Old Testament, when he built the house for the Lord, you read the description of the temple? Wow. Stones, the most, you know, gold-plated stuff and you know, jewels, and it was something to see. There aren't any pictures, unfortunately. But he built it to last, and he built it out of quality materials. The problem is, the test that comes here, as Paul describes these building materials, is seen in verse 13. It said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day? Well, there's a judgment day coming. The judgment seat of Christ, where believers will give account for everything that they have done. Now, we think of judgment as being, you know, we think of the world being judged, and indeed there's the great white throne judgment and the judgment of unbelievers as they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. But even believers are going to be judged. Our judgment is not judgment, determining where we're going to go. Our eternal security is assured, but we're going to have a judgment, and there's going to be a judgment over what we did with what God gave us. How did we use our lives for His glory? How did we build upon Him the foundation? Did we waste our lives? Did we build with valuable things? Or did we build with the materials of the world. He says the day will declare it. We can either build with eternal material, that which is priceless, incorruptible material, basing our lives and our decisions upon the Word of God. This is the gold, the silver, and the precious stones of which Paul speaks. These materials are costly. It's not easy. It's not easy to make decisions that fly in the face of worldly philosophy. It's not easy to make biblical decisions that go against family traditions. It's not easy, but it's going to last. These materials are costly, but they're long-lasting. We also have the opportunity to build with earthly material, to build for the moment, to do those things which are just convenient. These materials are cheap, easy to come by. You can find them anywhere, and the world will approve. They make for an impressive structure, but these materials are not permanent. They're not permanent. And of course, there's a day of testing coming. The day will declare it. The day of judgment. You know, in the back of a good clock, a good quality clock, if you look at a watch or a good quality movement, it may say so many joules, 7 joules, 14 joules, 27, 28 joules. You ever wondered what that meant? Some of you kids don't even know what I'm talking about. You look at your watch and it says, this is a digital watch. I know you're the guys who have to teach this clockwise and counterclockwise too, but that's okay. But an old watch that was a mechanical movement would often say so many joules movement. And what that means is if you would look in the inner workings of the watch, the moving parts were usually lined by what's called a bushing. It looks like a little donut. And that bushing is made out of a ruby. You see, rubies? Well, they're synthetic. They're man-made, but it's still the same composition as a natural ruby. And they are very, very small. But when a watch or a mechanism turns on a jewel, guess what happens? You don't get a lot of metal shavings because the jewel doesn't wear out. The jewel will last longer than the watch. And so a watch that would have, you know, the quality of the watch was dependent on how many jewels were used in its manufacture. And a durable watch would have a lot more jewels than a Timex, which doesn't have any jewels. And so the watch wouldn't wear out. It would last. And these old watches could be handed down from generation to generation. They would need cleaned and maybe oiled, but those jewels wouldn't wear away. Now, obviously, when Paul is talking here about building about with gold, silver, and precious stones, he is not encouraging Christians to go out there and place their life savings into physical gold or physical silver, or he's not telling you to accumulate gemstones in your jewelry box. He's using, obviously, figurative language, speaking about that which endures and that which is of great value. And so spiritually, we see this connection. It's two different types of building materials. Every one of us as believers, building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, we make decisions every day, and we choose whether we are building with something of eternal value or of something with little material value. Now, when we look around at other people, we don't necessarily know what they're building with. And just like I said, a wooden structure can go up quickly. It can look good. There can be a facade. It's really funny. Talk about a facade. You ever seen a trailer home that somebody stuccoed? You ever seen that? I've seen that. That was the wildest thing I've ever seen. But you see these trailer homes and somebody said, I had to stucco it, put a nice finish on, you know, a stucco finish on a trailer. It makes me kind of chuckle. It doesn't fit. But we can't see, I can't necessarily see what you're building upon, what you're building on the foundation, whether you're using wood, hay, or stubble. But God knows, and someday all of our lives are going to stand before God in judgment, and the day is going to make a declaration. It is going to prove to all what we were building with. And so we need to live in light of this and build for eternity. Note what Paul says here in verse 13. He said, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be revealed, made clear. We think we're so clever when we hide things. We think we're so clever if we can, you know, put on a front to make people think something that isn't necessarily true. But there's a day coming when all the truth is going to be manifested. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The fiery trial, the day of judgment and accountability. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. Paul said this, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us who is a believer is going to stand before God someday, and we're going to give account. There's going to be a day of reckoning, a day of judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Here it is, whether you've built with eternal things or whether you've built with earthly things. The day is going to declare it. Here's the judgment seat of Christ. The fire testing under the scrutiny of God's eye. Psalm 11, verse 4, David said this, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. God sees it all. And have you ever wondered, well, if God sees everything and he already knows, you know, what we're building with, then what's the point of what's the whole point of the judgment seat of Christ? I mean, he already knows. It says that it's going to be revealed. Every man's work shall be made manifest, as if God didn't know. So my question is, do you really think that this manifestation is for God's benefit? God goes, oh, whoa, check it out. I thought this guy, whoa, big surprise. No, no, that's not the way God's going to respond at all. Manifest to whom? Yes, to ourselves. Do we deceive ourselves? Oh, yes, we do. We deceive ourselves. We rationalize what we do. We think, well, you know. And it is amazing how many people I talk to who like to use Scripture to prove what they're doing is okay. And you say, well, that sounds good, doesn't it? The problem is, did you know that you can, if you misuse Scripture, you can justify just about any behavior. The devil does it all the time. He did it to Eve. Hath God said, oh, listen, let me tell you. And then when Jesus was tempted of Satan, what did Satan use? He used Scripture. Hey, cast yourself down. It is written. He shall give his angels charge over thee, and they will bear thee up in their wings, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Oh, he used Scripture. Listen, just because somebody used Scripture doesn't mean they're using it right. The devil uses Scripture. Listen, I guarantee you he's got the whole Bible memorized. He can say it backwards and forwards. He's been around for a long time, and he uses Scripture, and he twists it. I mean, that's what he's best at, is taking God's word and twisting it into a lie. And the thing is, we so often deceive ourselves. We convince ourselves that we're serving God, yet really we're serving our own lusts and then rationalizing it with Scripture. It was interesting talking to several people up there in Phoenix this week, just strangers, people I never met, but getting into conversations and hearing things. And then just watching the people. And it was a homeschool conference, not necessarily a... Most of them, I'm sure, would claim to be Christians. But you see the whole gamut. I mean, you see the whole spectrum of people, and you look at people and think, whoa. I mean, I actually saw a man, full beard, must have been in his 30s, sporting a mohawk. Mohawks? Those went out in the, what was that, early 80s? What in the, I said, this has got you. But, you know, mohawk, schmohawk, big deal. But the point is that a lot of different people and a lot of different values, a lot of different philosophies of life, and not necessarily biblical. Yet most of those people had probably claimed the name of Christ. Yet there's a day coming that's going to manifest and declare to ourselves and to everyone else what we really were when we claimed the name of Christ. What it really was that we were building with our lives in the name of Christ. And this day is going to declare it. And remember, it's not making it manifest to God. That's not what this verse means, because God already knows. But it is revealing to us. Do you ever think about that? How many pure motives have you ever had? Truly pure motives. You think about it, and it's pretty frightening. Now, so often, we do things and we convince ourselves that our motives are pure, but are they really? The day of accountability here, the judgment seat of Christ. And then we see what happens. Verse 14. Here's this fire. And I've said before, I like to think of this as a big oven and a conveyor belt going through, kind of like the TSA has at the airport. You stick your bags in and what comes out the other side. But this is God's oven of testing. And here comes in, you know, brother so-and-so's works. Here's his life. And he's standing there watching. And it enters the fire. And out the other side, all of a sudden, what? It's just a little heap of ashes smoldering, a few wisps of smoke coming up. And he looks up, what? Everything I lived for, and it's just ashes? Note, building materials, wood, hay, and stubble. And then here comes a great personality, a TV evangelist, world renowned. No, he didn't even get there. Who knows? I'm just saying the people who have built these great empires in the name of Christ, does it necessarily mean that it was built with gold, silver, and precious stones? Not necessarily. We don't know. But there's a day coming that is going to declare it, and it'll be evident to all. And there'll be some little unknown people we've never heard of who will come through. And here's their little building as it goes through. And out the other side, there it is. Gold, silver, and precious stones. The little bit of ashes that were burned up sitting around, but there it is. What came through was the majority of what they had done for the Lord. He says, if any man's work abide, if it can stand the test, if it passes through the fire and survives, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Now remember this, as it goes through the fire, the foundation doesn't change. Because Jesus is the foundation. His work's been done. What's being tested is not the foundation. It's the structure that was built upon the foundation. So if any man's work abide, comes to the fire and it's still there, he shall receive a reward. This is good and acceptable in the eyes of God. This is well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have built with that which was eternal. He shall receive a reward. But verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet so as by fire. There's a lack of reward. And suffer loss, I'm not exactly sure all that that means, but it definitely is not something that we want to experience. But here's the rewarding of the builder, the careful builder. The one who built for eternity, the one who built using gold, silver, and precious stones, his work abides and he is rewarded. His motives, his conduct, and his service was pure. And then there was the careless builder, and because his work is burned up, he suffers loss. And even though his work may have looked impressive to men, it did not hold up under the scrutiny of the eyes of God. You see, the scripture tells us that man looks on the outward appearance and makes his judgment. But God looks on the heart and renders a true verdict. There's the careful builder, the careless builder. And then he says here in verses 16 and 17 at the end of this passage in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." A rebel defiles the temple of God. Of course, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 to warn these believers at Corinth against the sin of fornication. And he tells them in the end of chapter 6, he says, verse 18, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth or doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." And again, verse 19, note here, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Those who defile the temple of God, listen, we are building our bodies of the temple of God, and we are building our lives. We're to be building them with gold, silver, precious stones, with those things that are eternal, not with the things of this world, not basing our lives and building with the traditions and the philosophies of the culture around us, but to be building with the truth. Those who are disobedient, those who are foolish builders, are defiling the temple of God. They're building something unworthy of the Spirit of God. And of course, Paul warns that those who would defile the temple of God will be destroyed. God will destroy them. Plenty of illustrations in Scripture of that happening in the Old Testament. Those who defiled the physical temple in the Old Testament, or the tabernacle. We've got Nadab and Abihu and these others who, Uzziah, who went into the temple as a king, he was not the priest, and defiled, and physically, they're the dwelling place of God among his people, God destroyed them. Romans 8, verses 12 and 13, give us a warning. Romans chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live." Now, the application I want to make with that passage is this. If we build according to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap, the Bible says, corruption. The Bible tells us that we are to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. We are to build with those things that are eternal, those things of which God approves, truths of his word. That's the basis for our decision making. That's the basis for everything that we do. It's our rule for behavior, for our lives. And if we live after the flesh, we will die. The end result of living for the flesh is certain destruction. And that which passes through the fire of God's judgment will not last if we build according to the flesh. But let us build according to the Spirit. Let us build with those things that are eternal. Listen, how are you building? Are you a wise man? Or are you a foolish man? We should have our closing hymn as "The Wise Man Build His House Upon the Rock." I'm just kidding, it's not a hymn. But the wise man, he builds upon the proper foundation, and on the foundation of Jesus Christ, he builds using building materials that are eternal, things of value. He builds with right motives. He builds for the glory of God. But the foolish man, he doesn't build accordingly. And in the end, if you're a believer and you have built foolishly using wood, hay, and stubble, you will suffer loss. Listen, we're not here that long. What are you building with? Are you building for eternity, or is your focus just earthbound? Listen, make sure that your focus is on the things of the Lord, on the things of heaven, on those things which are eternal. Because, remember, all of us will stand before God one day, and our works will be made manifest to ourselves and to all around. And what God knows to be true will be revealed. Listen, that ought to cause you to squirm a little bit. If it does, that's good. Because woe unto him that is self-deceived. And we are all prone to that. And remember, there is none so deceived as the self-deceived. Because the self-deceived person doesn't know he's deceived. But his situation is not hopeless. There is only one cure for the self-deceived. And you know what that is? For a person who is self-deceived, he has to have an outside influence come in and shed light. And the only way a person who is spiritually self-deceived, the only way he can be cured of that is by the light of God's Word. And if he will listen to and take heed to the light of God's Word, listen, God's Word is that double-edged sword, that two-edged sword, which the Bible says will discern our thoughts and intents, the thoughts and intents of our heart. Listen, do you want to know if you're serving God for the proper motives or not? You spend time studying the Word of God, and it will reveal to you what your motives are. But if you're not spending time in the Word of God, then you are self-deceived. And the only cure for self-deception, you cannot bring yourself out of self-deception, because the person who's self-deceived doesn't even know it. That's one of the interesting things about addictions. People that are addicted. Remember my dad telling me that once. He said, be careful of that Percocet. Careful of that oxycodone. I said, I'm not addicted to it. He goes, if you were, you wouldn't even know it. Wow. That scared me. I'm like, you're kidding. Oh, quit right now. And praise the Lord. I only used it as I needed it after surgery and got off of it. But addictions and those who are self-deceived, you can't pull yourself out of self-deception. Outside, you have to receive outside truth that has to come in and pull you out. And that's what the Word of God does for us. It reveals the thoughts and intents of our heart. It will show you if your motives are pure. It will show you why you're doing what you're doing. But if you don't come to the light, you will abide in darkness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your Word. Lord, we thank you for the solemn warning, but encouragement. Lord, the warning that we should not build with temporal materials. But Lord, the encouragement that if we build with the truth of your Word, if we build, Lord, with eternal materials, we will receive a reward. Lord, may we all remember and bear in mind the fact that we are each going to stand before you someday and give account of the things that we have done with what you have given to us. Lord, may we live for your glory and may we build for eternity, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.